This is CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. It's your boy, G-Man, the ad man. And, no, we're not out. I'm out. Yeah, it's your boy, G-Man, the ad man. Are we having a little bit of technical difficulty? But yeah, it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're out here making it happen. And yeah, big shout out to Reason No Sleep. That's what I was playing before this, and before that we were getting down. You guys saw Leroy getting down in the stew out here. Yeah, something's still not right here. Yeah. Anyway, Leroy getting down in the stew. He's like, his shirt is like hella unbuttoned. I'm not sure what that means yet, but we'll get to ask him some hard questions later. He can tell us why his shirt is unbuttoned. But yeah, it's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man, and we're out here hanging out. And it's going to be a dope show. It's been another great week of advertising. A lot of stuff has gone down. That chicken licking campaign has been getting a whole bunch of love out there. So big love to everyone that's been loving the big chicken licking campaign. You're doing well. You know, if you're gonna fly overseas to shoot an advert, I mean, it must be good. But yeah, it's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man. Hit me up. I'm still on Twitter. If you've been following me on Twitter, You know Leroy is in the stew, right? So send me some of your comments, some of your questions for the guy. That's at Blaxem, it's at BLAXEM on Twitter, and that's also at CliffCentral.com. Whatever questions you got for the man, hit me up. But yeah, man, it's been a dope ass week. Hey, technical today is playing games. Yeah. Yes, we are good now. I hope we're good now. I think we're good now. Thanks, guys. Did you hear me rambling? Just so we could get through it. So like I said, the chicken licking campaign looks like it's doing some dope things. People are loving it. It's getting a whole bunch of love. If you haven't seen it, then I guess you have a firewall at the office and they're not allowing you to see nice things. But yeah, check it out on TV as well. It's really, really dope. But yeah, I saw some other dope stuff. There's a thing on the net just this past week, and it's for Joburg Zoo, and it's called Selfies with Seniors. Right, so what it was is so people could go onto you go to the zoo, right, for Joburg Zoo, and on this day, on October 1st, which was a couple of days ago, you could walk around with these guys, you could bring your older people to because it was also a national or international Older People's Day. So you could bring your older people to to the zoo. Right, because that's what you do with old people, I guess. You know, guys, once you've come to the place where your younger people are taking you to the zoo, you must know something, like you've gone over the proverbial mountain. So the kids take the older people to the zoo and they take selfies with them. I think it's quite a noble idea. But if you haven't seen the video, go on to Mark Lives. Shout out to the homies at Mark Lives once again, Mr. Hammond Mason and his people, and check out the video. For this Joburg Zoo thing. Now, I mean, the initiative is dope. I love it. I think it's great. I think the campaign is nice. But that video, I never. Leroy hasn't seen it. I think I'm gonna give him time to watch it first, and then we can chat about it. But the video has got like this older gentleman, black older gentleman, with a cane, and a young lady. who I hope is not from the agency. And as the narrator goes through the story, as the titles go through the story, then this lady like walks around with this timer, and they're taking selfies, you know. But like it's done in very very pantomimey ways, you know what I mean? And guys, entry videos are tough, and that's why they've become an industry on their own, you know. So go check it out. Tell me what you think of it. Hit me up at Blaxam. It's at BLAXTM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com on Twitter. Tell me what you think of it. Tell me, like I said, I love the initiative and I love the idea. But that video is not nice. Ah, here's the video. I found it. Yeah, here we go. So, like, I mean, I think, like I said, I understand why the whole thing is an industry on its own again. And I think what I want to do as well is I want to ask Leroy things like selfies and stuff like that, right? Like, I'm like, wait, let's take a step back here. I feel like I'm doing this ass about face because of those technical problems that we had earlier, but they're fixed now. And let's not do this ass about face. So in the studio with me today. You guys might have, like I said, seen on my social media page. I got this cat in the studio with me today, unbuttoned. I mean, the shirt does have buttons, right? He just chose not to button this motherfucker up, right? He does.
Button away from shirtless right now, man.
You want one button away? Yeah, he's actually looking strange up in the studio. But in the studio with me today is none other than Mr. Leroy Jason. What's going on, brother?
Oh, you dick suckers.
We're not there yet. What are you doing?
And the only way to break my virginity.
Just son. Eh? Now you know what's in the stew today, guys. Okay. for those of you who don't know, Cheese is also in the studio again today. What's up, Cheese? What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm concerned about this young man right here.
Yeah.
What you mean?
He's into it. We're gonna get to the dick sucking thing.
But guys, wait. Cheese, oh, like
Mukaki all over the place.
You
guys told me I can swear on the radio.
What have we done?
Created a monster.
Well, this
a shirtless modern stuff.
Guys, it's photographer extraordinaire whose phone is just going off as well. And it's a guy that, you know, I've had the privilege of working with, and I know a whole bunch of you guys out there have had the privilege of working with Leroy. And he's in the studio today coming to chat and hang out with us and tell us what's up. So what's going on, Mr. Leroy Jason? What's up?
Hey, nothing else but the rent, nigga.
Yeah.
People need to pay.
What have you been up to? What jobs did we pull you away from, man?
Oh, man, I just finished up a really cool, also a very, very cool old person's thing, but we didn't do selfies with these old people. We hunted down like 100-year-old people from who is it? King James.
Ah, okay.
100-year-old centurials.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. Can you talk about what brand it's for?
Not yet.
So where were you shooting? We're shooting in Joburg, Cape Town.
All over, yeah. Cape Town, Joburg, South Africa, really.
Yeah.
We're trying to get out of South Africa and look for 100-year-old people outside of that.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find males.
Yeah.
Actually, everyone always pegs off. Are you a male? You're not living past 90. I'm telling you that much. Especially a rock and roller like Chetza. Now you're gonna do a Chetza? You look 95 already, nigga.
I get the feeling it's gonna be a very messy show. But yeah, man, good to have you in the stool, man. But yeah, so like speaking of the selfies, so like, you know, photography is obviously in a very, it's not in a peculiar place, because I actually think that it's made real photographers stand out.
Yeah.
The fact that everybody who has a phone now feels like, oh, man, check out this filter, and everyone kind of makes like dope photography.
Yeah.
Do you think that space, the like the better the cameras are getting on phones or whatever, is actually gonna make photographers better or worse? Create monsters.
It does create monsters, I tell you that much. Selfie monsters. I mean, you see those girls on Instagram right now, huh?
Yeah.
but ideally, you're right. I mean, because of the quality of cameras are coming up,
yeah.
It has made photographers a bit more shallow. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah? What do you mean by shallow?
As in, I mean, cats don't go deep enough with their stories. I mean, nowadays all you want to do is just take photos of what you have around you and not try and go and search for stories anymore.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So so that type of photography is one thing that's kind of dying out, you know. Yeah. Real storytellers, a lot of cats, you know, everyday stories. We see you know what I mean? You guys go out there, they talk about things, then they call themselves storytellers, but the only story they're telling is in Bramfontein. And we've seen the movie.
That's fine. It's too early for that. It's too early for that.
Okay, we're using it.
That's crazy shit. No, but I hear you. I mean, like, it's like how, remember when there was an era of the folded clothes and the
square.
Is that the kind of stuff you're talking about, where people like are not venturing out? Just,
I think
like,
it's that and the fucking planking, man. It's the same shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's only so much you can do with it. You know?
The fucking planking.
Planking. Come on, that's crazy shit, man. But ideally, that's what I always try and tell cats. I mean, I had another follow. I mean, I'm gonna blast him out if I can on my Instagram. This dude comes up because he sees me on top billing, whatever. You know, nigga.
Listen,
where your fireworks at, man?
Something's wrong with my fireworks, man. There we go.
Yeah, so now I was saying that. So this cat hits me up. He's like, yo, I need a job. I'm like, dude, I'm a photographer. What job am I going to give you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what happens. A lot of cats, I mean, but you're right. I mean, the quality of photographs is. It is kind of the type of photography is reducing. You know what I mean? Like, but the depth to it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the actual industry of photography, more black photographers are coming up.
That's dope shit.
I mean, you know, I mean, I used to stay behind a fucking whack ass white dude photographer that actually took me out. Because I stayed around the corner. I'm going to call him out, this motherfucker. Because this dude took me around. Like, he kept seeing me, and he seen my work. So how I met the dude, right? I'm at my a studio, a friend of mine's studio. I walk into the studio, and I see, like, this big gear everywhere. I'm like, yo, who's this photographer? Then I go to the table where all the references are. All of them are my pictures.
You're kidding me.
Right? And it's now Peroni. Now it's like a Peroni commercial. Yeah. And they're shooting the shit. So then I look around. I'm like, yo, man, who the fuck is the photographer? Because all of these are my photographs.
Yeah.
So why didn't you guys hire me?
Yeah, exactly.
Because usually they used to hire only white photographers. Yeah. Like they're doing Cape Town. I mean, you go to those Cape Town productions, all white production.
Yeah.
Advertising. I mean, companies, they just hire all white production companies.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's insane. Know what I mean? Shit.
More fire.
Yes. There is a lot of fire all at once, bro.
Wow.
But also, wait, I want to tone this down a little bit. Come on. Just take a step back.
Bring it back.
Jeez, like, we'll get to that point. There is a point for that.
Okay.
But now tell me. Young man.
Yeah. Yes, sir. But now tell me this, Leroy, then. Have the briefs that you get from agencies changed, or like in the time that you've been working with agencies, have you watched the briefs kind of evolve because the industry is evolving, or has it just kind of felt like it's just stayed exactly the same?
Yeah, man, I think in the largest scheme of things, I think the briefs have changed completely, because nowadays guys just come with a scamp. A drawed out scamp. Like, but guys don't, there's no thinking about what they're going to shoot anymore, because like, I think half of the time most of those creatives are set on Instagram and they're like, oh fuck, this is actually cool.
Yeah.
This is cool, and that's what I want to replicate.
Yeah.
But instead of going in further into their research and doing research about treatment for photographs that they want to achieve, that's why a lot of the shit looks very like two-dimensional, one-dimensional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of the cats.
That's an interesting thing, man, because, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, in fact, I saw Melissa Chabalala post a thing the other day. You shout out, Mr. Melissa Chabalala, what's going on?
Shout out, Melissa.
And he was posting about, like, director, we are about designers now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like niggas who are kind of well-versed in kind of both spheres, right? To me, it sounds like it's the conversation about the art director is changing, you know, because people are going, art directors are not doing what they used to before, you know, like, I feel like art directors are going straight to the Mac, or they don't actually have visual ideas of what they do you find that your collaborations with some art directors are different to others?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can also tell between an art director who's traveled or is just came off the taxi from Soweto back into town, and that's what he's doing all his whole life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, you can,
by traveling, I hope you don't mean like physically traveling. It's just exposing yourself.
Exposing. I mean, we're a global nation now.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to travel.
That connects you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, there is still that physical thing about experiencing a different lifestyle. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where,
so you'll find that a lot of
Toilet passport.
Yeah, Toilet passport. I know.
Hashtag Toilet passport
and driver's license. Hey, some niggas are 38. No driver's license.
Cheese, driver's license has expired. He needs to get himself a driver's license.
At least his go on. Yeah. There's no 5-0 listening to this shit. Yeah, yeah.
Joseph Cops out there, cheese doesn't know what
you're talking about. Listening right now.
Hey, they are. That's right outside.
Yeah, shout out to the DEA. What's going on? Oh, you guys out of hand. Oh, fuck.
No, but you're right. When it comes to the designers and creative directors are completely changing. I mean, I saw on Instagram the other day, these cats, they just shoot one Fila commercial and then they call themselves creative directors. You know what I mean?
I know all about that. No, also because the title creative director is very easily available these days. Quicker. You know, you do one or two things out there in the streets and all of a sudden you're a creative director.
One peanut butter jam, you're creative director. That's it. You put the jam with the peanut, so you creatively directed that shit.
Leroy Jason in the studio. Hit me up at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM. If you have any questions, any comments for the man, like I said, you know what kind of show it's going to be today. But we're hanging out. We're chatting everything advertising. We're chatting everything photography. We're chatting, you know, the G-Man, the ad man, is all about everything that surrounds branding, advertising, and communication. And I think we all know how important the guys that we choose to capture out the moments in our advertising are important, how important those cats are. I mean, I've recently had the pleasure of working with Leroy on something and actually getting to see the power of collaborating with guys that actually have a vision for this kind of thing. And I know that a whole bunch of people out there, right, Leroy, kind of go, you know, I want to get into advertising, but like it's not that there's not space for everyone in front of the Macs, you know, in front of the art director's Mac or the designer Mac, and this person might actually just be a photographer, you know. I know like the cats at Umuzi Photo Club, you know, they kind of spread the knowledge that they give to all the kids. Mm. How important is it, do you think, for us to start breeding a new breed of advertising photographers who understand the commercial side of it as much as they understand kind of the storytelling? Well, I guess it's always storytelling, right?
Yeah, it is.
But how important is it for us to breed those kids?
You know what's important is the history beyond that. Like, understanding who are the people that came before you to make that shit happen. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at advertising, we look at Herd Boys and what strides they made for VW and what they did as a black agency. And then you look at creative directors that have opened the doors for guys that have made it possible, like yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Totally. You know what I mean? These cats are out there.
That's right, put
it out there to show and put standards at what creative direction is. Yeah, you know what I mean? But you're right. I mean, it's more about a collaboration more than anything, because we have to help kids out.
Yeah.
But these kids out here are just, I think the shallowness of the whole thing, they just they want to play another character on Generations. You know what I mean? Remember when Generations was about advertising?
I remember that. Yeah.
So that was it. I mean, ideally but we're not making, like, I don't think we're creating ads that are changing. They're changing like what VW did to the township. And you know what I mean? Like, why people buy into certain things. You find that a lot of creative directors who sit in advertising agencies, they say they represent a main market, but they've never been there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're fucking with white girls now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What? What are you talking about, Leroy?
My bad.
How did you even arrive at that?
No, I'm playing.
How did you even arrive at that?
Everyone wants to be a Basquiat, you know what I mean? But no one wants to paint.
Everybody wants to be a Basquiat, but no one wants to paint. That's exactly true, man. Oh man, that's insane, guys. This man is in this too. I'm nervous. I stay nervous. Mm. But you know, Leroy, what I want to do is I want to take it all the way back. You know, I want to take it all the way back to when it started for you. You know, like it's a tough thing to kind of arrive at. I'm gonna be a photographer. I mean, but I guess for you, you know, with your background, it kind of wasn't a tough call to make in your household.
Cool.
Because it was like, yeah, I see how, right?
But how the paychecks come.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when did it start for you? Where did it kind of go? Where did you kind of go, I think this is the shit I want to do?
Hey man, when I was sleeping on my couch, with my cousin, man, at the refinery in Bryanston, I realized that fuck it, you know, photography is it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm making money from it. I'm losing meeting times with the other space and other work that I was doing.
Yeah.
So I just decided I'm gonna do it. But I started as a event photographer.
Oh yeah, that's the part I want to know. That's the part I want to know.
Shout out Chris. Alan from the bank. You know.
Yeah.
He's holding down the sands right now. yeah. Shout out to those guys.
But like so that was your first photography gig, and how did you land that gig? How did you just like make a connection with Chris Nkosi and just like end up.
Yeah, no. But the thing is, I used to shoot events, like weird events, like with a little photo camera that I had, and I used to sell it for like R7 a print.
Yeah.
And then I realized that going into the club thing, that was a time when Thunder.com was the
only camera
in the club.
So yeah.
I might as well give them something completely different.
Yeah.
Using lighting and that sort
of
thing.
Oh, that's dope shit.
And that's where it started my lust for lighting and contrive and building a certain look and feel for my images.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you know what, you kind of have a distinct look. Yeah. You know, there's a way you kind of can tell, like, this is that Leroy shit. There's that Leroy magic right now.
That open shirt type game. Yeah. that's a Leroy touch.
That's a photo kind of shit. Yeah. Oh man, that's fucking crazy shit. But like, you know, like I said, I mean, maybe take us through how. Like your pops a photographer,
yeah.
Right? But in fact, he's a photographer extraordinaire,
yeah.
Right? And is that where you kind of went? I want to get into this because you saw it around the house, and you know what I mean? Did it happen for you?
I mean, you must know that all my dad's friends, he's surrounded by like your really established photographers. Yeah. So I mean, these guys,
shout out Mr. Funny Jason. What's going on?
Shout out. So I mean, my dad used to have all of his friends come around, you know. So
yeah.
I mean, a lot of the photographers. I mean, some of these guys, you know, photographers are rock stars, man. I mean,
yeah.
Like, they would sit around the room and talk about ideas about how they'd love naked woman to walk around the house.
Yeah.
And take photos. I mean, these are the guys that lived with the Peter Magubanis, the Yuma. They hanged out with Yuma Sikela, Nelson Mandela. I mean, they traveled. They went exile overseas as well.
Yeah.
So they were living a different lifestyle altogether.
That's right. That's right.
Know?
Yeah.
So I looked at them when they came back. I was like, oh man, shit, this shit is actually really experience. The experience that they got. I mean, from war to famous women to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They kind of live just below the radar.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a nice space to be in.
That's right.
So it's not like where you're seen at the party and everyone wants to be
actually
behind the camera lens and no one really knows you,
yeah,
but yet you've still got a hot girl next to you. You know what I mean? Like, where you get that? How you get that?
I think that's really cool because, you know, I guess the point I'm making is about, you know, how much an influence it is to grow up in a creative household.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I mean, it's obviously, I mean, it also has had an influence on your sister as well.
Yeah.
You know, Una was here the other day talking about how she's the new editor of Between 10 and 5.
Shout out
Steph, Jason, what's going on? Yeah. but has it always been something that was like encouraged around your household, or is it something that you guys kind of just grew up around and then just kind of like just took on?
Well, I mean, no, obviously my parents didn't want me to become a photographer. I mean,
yeah, what did they want for you? What did they want for you?
Guys wanted me to be an accountant, you know what I mean? Like work in an office.
You would be in that KPMG mess right now, right?
I'm still trying to defend it. Well, the thing was.
So they wanted you to do something else?
So completely, because you must know that my dad came back. He came back from Rwanda. He was completely fucked. Like,
yeah.
Mentally, he was gone, man. He
yeah.
Was a mad dog from Boys in the Hood, man. Like,
Leroy, come on. I'm keeping it.
No, but then my dad.
So he was like, there's no way he wants that for you.
Everybody was like, no, they're not trying to have that. They were trying to at least have one person in the house. Make sure that there is some sort of steady income.
Yeah.
Even when I was working at 16, because my dad was like, yeah, yeah.
Come on, Nick.
Get a job, nigga. Yeah. You can't be sitting here with a beard growing, balls hanging out.
Yeah.
And you still wanna order drinks. Nigga, you're only drinking water in this house, motherfucker. There's no juice for you. So
shout out, Mr. Funny Jason. What's going on?
So that's the thing. So he was like, you know what? He used to take my salary, man. Like, back in the day, I used to have this shit where you'd take my salary into in his bank account
yeah.
in half, and then I'd still have to pay for the other things.
That's right. That's right.
But ideally, he was trying to train me to have a steady income.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, being a photographer, you have to understand that you're going to be broke most of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your equipment is really expensive. What you're willing to do is usually for free most of the time.
Yeah.
Because you either want to get your story out or you want to create within that space. You know.
And then like, I mean, through all that, after having learned all that, and like you're saying, you know, like it's hardships most of the time. You know, but hardships for the art, right?
Yeah.
So how difficult or easy is it then to break into getting relationships with agencies, you know, like, has it been like how's the journey been in getting through the doors of the agencies?
Dude, it was really rough, man. I don't want to lie, man. It took me many years. I remember once, man, The thing is, I thought, like this photographer I told you about,
yeah,
who stayed around the corner, this white photographer, this yeah. dude was used to tell me about the budgets that those guys used to
get, yeah.
So it was quite big. I mean, like, us coming into the industry as black photographers was really hard. It took a while for black photographers, because they were still, if cats didn't know, I mean, if you look at, I mean, I don't want to badmouth anyone, but fuck yo.
No, it's fine.
But
it's
like,
cool.
But guys like Chris Saunders and all those guys were taking black aesthetics. I mean, you had Simpio Nkosi who was
shout out to Nkosi, what's going on, bro?
I mean, like he used to shoot that aesthetic, but he wasn't getting hired as a photographer.
Yeah.
As much as Chris Saunders was.
I hear you.
Chris Saunders was shooting exactly the same style.
Pure stuff, yeah.
Exactly his style. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's crazy
So, I mean, it was that. And then Boy Liam Lynch,
but
all of those.
But I think you bring up an important thing, though. Like you know, there's always this conversation. And Mzee Khumalo, when he was here, we had the conversation about, like, what's the South African thing? You know, when someone says this thing's South African. And do you think that someone like a Chris Saunders could have gotten away with saying, but guys, that's the South African style? You know what I mean? Like, he could have said, like, when you say, he took his pure style, he could just say, but guys, that's just the South African aesthetic. Is that a thing?
Well, I mean, the thing is, yeah, no doubt. I think, yeah, that is a South African aesthetic. But the thing is, sometimes, and most of the time, it, you know, especially if that acknowledgement of where you're taking that style from.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost the same thing about appreciation and
that's right. An acknowledgement.
You know what I mean? Like, So it's more about acknowledgement.
But I know what you mean. It's like the amount of times I've sat in briefings and pitches by directors and seen them bring references up of like I see a different Jew stuff, right? And you're like, oh guys, but then might as well just get these cats then, you know what I mean? Because these guys are using these references, then I might as well just have called these cats.
Dude, that's exactly what happened when I stepped into that room when I was like, dude, we're surrounded by a bunch of white people.
Yeah.
Yes, they're shooting for Peroni, but all of the references are mine.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on? Why don't you hire me for it?
That's crazy
shit,
though.
Well, then the guy didn't even answer me. Then what he did was he was like, oh no, just send me your party.
No.
And I stayed around the corner from the dude.
You're
right?
Kidding me.
Dude,
send me
the
your
motherfucker.
Party.
So he ends up putting me on as an assistant for one day without pay.
Yeah.
Shows me how he does his shit. And I'm like, dude, this
come on now.
This simple shit. I mean, I'm doing this thing on a daily. And then I think because of that, a lot of white photographers saw that black guys are the threat.
Yeah.
I mean, they try to close them as much as they could.
Yeah.
A lot of them went into owning studio spaces and rental companies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But ideally, now they've opened the market because they can see that they're only good for car photography right now.
Hashtag open up the industry. But now, hold on. So I mean, do you then think that there's a way to, and I'm not in any way like suggesting that, you know, this some kind of compromise, right? But what I'm saying is there should obviously be some kind of a transformation. It's just such an overused word, but like some kind of way that the skills exchange, and the fact that, like, so that you can get to do a car photography as well.
You know what?
You don't want to do car photography?
Fuck for a car photography.
That's that little Jason I told you guys about, y'all.
the thing is, you know what really needs to happen is fucking Nikon and Canon and all of these fucking places, they only give one black person a camera. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, I see a different. He was the only black faces that actually were sponsored.
Yeah.
It's been like 15 years. I mean, there was Alf Kumalo. Yes, it was also sponsored. One out of how many black people?
So the fact that, we know about this phenomenon, right? The phenomenon of choosing one at a time.
Dude.
Right?
Dude,
it happens. He really is on his canyon today. But you're right. I mean, it happens in many spheres of our industry where we can kind of get the sense that, like, you know, there isn't enough space for more than one at a time.
Yeah.
You know, and that holds a whole bunch of people back because, you know, the threat can't be everywhere all at once. You know what I mean?
Which is so stupid because, I mean, we're living in South Africa. Everyone's walking around with South African passports, but yet they're all green, but yet some are better than others.
Some are greener than others, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, I have the same issue with a lot of, because you'll find a lot of brands doing that. And what they'll do is they'll go, okay, Grant, you know, you're a photographer.
Yeah.
We want to see you pose
with a camera how? And take another photographer.
And then the guy take a photo of you posing with my camera. Yeah. Oh man, that's like photography inception.
Yo, Nike tried to do that shit with me, man.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. But Nike, I see they do a lot of those. I mean, but now they're opening their doors up to a lot of it. Because I mean, before, I used to work for Nike and I would shoot all their product stuff. But yeah. I was never good enough to have my pictures on their walls.
Ah, you know what I mean? I hear you. Yeah, that's crazy shit, man. Mm. Well, guys, hit us up. Like I said, if anybody who's out there wants to tell us, you know, wants to have an opinion on what Leo is talking about, please. Hit us up. Hit me up at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM. Or you can also send me a message on WhatsApp at 079-748-2090. Once again, remember that's a WhatsApp line you can't call. You know those WhatsApp calls? Yeah, no, you can't call that number. But send me some messages because Leo is on some shit today.
All cylinders.
Yeah, I know. He's straight firing. Mm. But Leroy, I mean, having been on like, I mean, you're essentially like your photojournalist shit is on another level, right? So you shout out for that shit. Like, you must have some crazy ass stories. What are some of the crazy things that you've seen kind of on your? I mean, I saw the one photo where you went to visit your pops.
Yeah,
and some kid happened to get stabbed.
Yeah.
Right, and you were there, and you happened to catch them. Tell us about that. What happened?
No, so we're just going through, like, usually when I go to my dad's house, I just go through his archives. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm going through these archives, but I just saw these kids run, and I thought they were just playing games.
Yeah.
So I step outside and I see this kid run, but the way his head hit the floor.
Yeah.
I saw there's not a game no more.
Yeah.
That guy's crawled all over him, vicious. These youngsters, these high school kids these days. Yeah. Are mad vicious, but I think we have a history of violence in our school system
as well. Yeah.
Because I mean, we got a lot of energy. I mean, if you think about all the riots that have ever come,
it's youth.
It stems from the school system. Yeah.
It's always stemmed from the apartheid was also defeated by the youth. Yeah. You know what I mean, if you think about it, all those riots that came about.
Yeah.
True.
So ideally, yeah, that's what happened. So these kids just crawled all over him, stabbed him. Multiple times across the chest.
A bunch of kids stabbed this kid.
Dude, it was about four or five of them, huh?
That's insane shit.
And they first took his knife because he was carrying a knife. Then I realized that this kid was actually trying to be an undercover going into a school and stab someone else.
Oh, shit.
So they went in on the little homie.
So it was more of like a revenge type thing.
Son, paper. I'm standing at the door, right?
Yeah.
Now, listen to this.
So that's standing, I don't know when you can face the camera.
Yo, no, hold on. Not even. So I'm standing at the door. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? I'm frozen. And I'm like, my dad runs past me. He comes back after chasing those kids. He comes back to me. He's like, "What the fuck, Leroy? Why didn't you tell me to get the camera?"
True. That's an OG.
But you know, like for me, that's the stuff, right? It's about knowing those moments, right?
Yeah, and
I guess that's the authenticity that you're talking about, right? Like being able to spot the real moments. But somehow,
sometimes you get caught up, man. Like there's sometimes. I mean, I've seen some shit where, in my mind, I'm like, "Fuck." I wish I could grab. I want to grab my camera, but fuck it. I just want to witness this.
But and that's exactly it, right? That's the stuff that you hear people say. You know, you go to a concert and everybody watching the concert through the phone.
Yeah.
Right. And it's exactly what you're saying. Like maybe I just want to experience this through the art. But you mentioned it earlier. You know, like there's a romance of that. That shit is romantic as fuck, right?
Yeah.
But then there's the romance of you gotta eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how do you balance kind of going, you know, somebody calls you up on a job that makes you go, I don't wanna, it makes you go, I don't know if I wanna work on that thing, but at the same time, damn it, nigga gotta eat. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing is, I think, man, if you stay as hungry as I was, man, yes, I remember staying mad hungry. You know those days where you're just like, hey,
I was there.
You know that shit where you're about to be a fucking Joshua Dawes in your own house, man.
Yeah.
Start selling off different parts of furniture, all kinds of shit.
I think it's another point that kids must get today, or up and coming photographers. They have this thing that they want that instant fame, that instant blow up. You haven't even learned enough of the craft. You haven't even put in enough.
So,
and here's the thing: if you're talented, it's not going to happen overnight. The other people are waiting at the gates.
I guess what I'm saying is, at some point, right? Yeah. There's a toss up now. Now you're like, my passion and my love, right? They're doing this for me, and that's dope, right? But my passion and my love are also like, they don't accept passion and love at West Bank.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
The landlord
is not going to take passion and love. You know what I mean?
So, man, I remember having a landlord who had to understand my career, man.
Oh, is it?
Every time he came looking for the rent, I'd be like, yo, Dave, you know, today I think we might have to slaughter in this house.
Yeah.
I need something. And he was an Englishman from London. He was like, no,
that's not enough.
We can slaughter, but not on this side of the house.
but it's obviously a thing, right? You have to make the call to sometimes like things that, and how often, well, maybe not how often. Have you ever had to make the call, like, normally, if I had the cash, I wouldn't take this job, but because there's no cash, I have to take this gig?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I did a lot of gigs for free. Right. A lot of the time. I mean, yeah. Most of the time you take what you can,
yeah,
so you can fund what you want.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean? Like,
so you do what you have to keep the passion alive.
Keep it going. Yeah,
do what you want.
What you want. Because you must know that sooner or later you'll be recognized for what you've been doing.
Yeah.
And then you could kind of slip into that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, for the longest time I was shooting photo booths at Pop Bottles.
I know.
And I mean, for the longest,
the local, I really, you remember the bank,
all them joints.
Yeah.
But ideally, in my mind, what I was trying to do is prepare people for the commercial space.
That's
because
right.
That's where I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's insane, man. That's insane.
And how do you feel you made the transition, like, from being like an event photographer? Because that's how you, like,
it took me a long time to get out of that.
Understand, like, from There's being a photographer, knowing that you've got the talent, you've got the passion for it.
Yeah.
But then there's also now, in a commercial space, understanding that not just looking for a pretty picture, there's certain things they're trying to create.
Yes.
Was that an easy transition for you?
No, I mean, like, we were trying to explain this to Grant earlier, man. It was really, really hard to make that transition. You know what I mean? I think also with the budget-wise and also the creative license.
Because you have to answer the brief.
Yeah,
you still
add
a bit of yourself.
Yeah, because all of it is always storytelling, right?
Yeah.
You always, like, even brands are asking you to tell the brand story, right?
Yeah.
And I guess to kind of use your reference from earlier, you have there's a style, you know, there's a Leroy style, and what happens sometimes when the guys go, Leroy, I need you to come pick you, man, give me that style, but also don't give me that style, you know,
people too much of that style.
That's exactly what happens.
It's a weird thing that they choose you because of your particular style, but once you're on set or they start briefing, you realize, like, actually
this is not mine.
How often does that happen, Leroy?
Luckily, I mean, I think now because I've got such a distinctive style, and I'm also quite flexy, you know what I mean? There's only so much, but
because you do it professional, you gotta be flexible.
Flexible,
because it's also part of your growth.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't shoot everything the way in your particular style. Are you okay with that?
I think it's cool. I mean, like, personally, like, my style was never really shooting naked women, right?
Yes.
And I had to do that.
Nude photography.
Hard.
You know
what I mean?
Naked. Nude photography.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? You had to do it hard.
That was a hard job, baby.
can we? I know where this is going. I don't want to go there.
No, but I mean, ideally, it wasn't my thing. So I mean, I got flown like three different cities, and I had to go and choose like
models
by a brand.
Yeah, by a magazine brand.
Okay, cool.
This rich, tender guy just wanted to be surrounded by
naked,
like,
people.
Naked people and on a set. So he thought the best way to do it was open a magazine.
Yeah,
and hire a photographer.
Makes sense.
Well, I mean, it does make sense. Yeah. $10,
yeah.
No?
Yeah. So then you kind of go, I have to adjust my style.
I had to adjust my style to get into that space. So I mean,
did you fall in love with shooting
with one particular person? Yes, my camera. No, I mean, I felt more and more in love with my camera.
Yeah.
So ideally, what happened was I had to go and study boudoir photography for a while.
Boudoir.
Yeah. So ideally, I mean, that's what happens with
Look at cheese. Drop his knowledge. You gotta study boudoir, nigga.
Jesus. I like your French.
Everything has to do with toilet things in the boudoir. Anyway, it's okay.
So that's what happened. I mean, like, with me and that style of photography, sometimes when I get a brief or like with the SABC one, when they told me to do all their TV shows, what I did was I sat and I looked through movie
posters.
That's
an important thing. I want like people to understand that you might be great, you might have your own style, but you can't then just jump from doing what you do or shooting fashion to doing wedding photography.
You need to do your research, but you can't
just step into the room and think it's all good.
Yeah,
cheese,
I can take pictures.
Please, also don't give him carry the man. You interrupted the man mid sentence to give him carry him.
No, no, I didn't give him curry.
It's like he's talking back. You're giving him curry.
A pertinent point, and I wanna, you know, highlight.
You wanna give him curry.
You wanna give him curry.
Shut up, give him curry.
It's an important point.
That but you're right. No, but you're right. I mean,
even
like,
if you learn photography, there's many aspects or disciplines within photography,
yeah.
and never stop learning.
Like that boudoir shit.
I mean, I know. When I started photography, all I used to do is I used to sit at a store out at fucking
Rosebank
called Mags.
With Stanley. Yeah.
You even know the guy's owner?
The old man.
I didn't know that guy.
Guys, this is how old Cheese is, yo. Shout out to Cheese's 49th birthday next week. We're having a throwdown here at the stew next week. She's turning 49, yo.
No, it's interesting. Because I've lived.
Hey, I know you have. Hey, you're a cat.
What is this place called? Mags.
Mags.
Mags. Used to collect like late edition magazines, international magazines. So we get them. So you'd get
the I know the store. I know the store. It was on that side where CD Warehouse used to be, right?
No.
You know where Game.
I almost showed my age.
CD Warehouse.
Where Game is now.
Ah, okay, cool.
Where cameras used to be, original cameras.
Right.
So ideally, what happened was, I mean, I used to go there because this was the age before.
I'm next to the production house. I mean, the post production place.
Left now.
It doesn't matter.
As I left.
Carry on. No, no.
There we go again.
carry on. You're right.
So ideally, that's exactly what it is, Chiz. Like you have to sit down and research and immerse yourself in imagery. Like that's what I used to do. I mean, what I used to do with briefs is I would, before I go and do a shoot, I would lay all the photos that I need outside on top behind my beside my bed, everywhere, so that at least those are the images that I need to kind of think about and the angles I need to look at when I look at that angle and I find it. That's it.
And is that an important thing for you? Like process. You know, like
process.
I feel like you know consistently every time we speak to people, kind of like the idea of like process keeps coming up. Is that a thing that's key?
No process, no progress, baby.
Boom. Leroy, I think Leroy also used to go to the club, but they wouldn't let him in.
I didn't need to go in. Lee Club is process is a very important thing for photographer. A lot of cats don't really understand this.
The prep before the shoot.
Prep.
I try to everything on the day of the shoot or on set.
Yeah,
which is too late. You should have.
Yeah. I mean, like the thing is, and that's why I find I see a different view is now getting into the stride and understanding photography. Before, a lot of guys used to chance take, you know, and a lot of cats came to me about it.
It could be a learning process for everyone. You started off somewhere.
Hell yeah, but not at those budgets though.
Leroy, can someone? No,
Leroy. That's fucking crazy. Once again, guys.
But overall, in terms of advancing, like, or getting people to understand that you can actually work with black photographers and give them those budgets, they did an important thing because all of a sudden,
kind of laid the foundation for that, right?
Yeah.
Because
it might not have happened the way, let's say, you wanted it to happen or saw it happen, but it actually advanced the movement.
Which one is this?
When you refer to, like, I see a different
No, but you must know that cats have been doing that, though.
Yeah,
they're not the first, though.
No, I
must know that.
No, I don't argue that.
Look at P.O. Nkosi. I mean, come on, legendary P. That guy, everyone, we don't even reference cats, don't even.
I'm trying to reel you. I get it.
But as black people, man, come on. There's a lot of times where we go, hey, sharp, we can do that. I can do that. Yeah. With a screwdriver, I just.
Yeah. But you know, B.
Give it
to the guy that knows the shit.
No, give it to him and learn from him.
Oh, yeah, especially, I mean, I know a cat came to. Sterman did that with me.
Yeah.
He was like, listen, I don't know this shit, but I've got this movie, the thing, but can you, you'll be my assistant, but I'm going to pay you as it. They gave me the gig.
Yeah.
And you're going to do it from the back. And I was like, yo, dude, that
makes
for me,
sense to you. Yeah.
That's getting the cat a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I've had a lot of cats come to me. They were like, hey, can I please be your assistant? And then, you know what I mean? I'm paying, what's this? I'm teaching people for free now.
No.
But it's not for free.
There's the gift back, and then there's also like, you
but there's also training snakes.
Those landlords.
There's also training snakes to come and bite you, bitch.
What have we done?
I've had snakes. I've trained a snake to come and bite me.
You trained a snake, boy.
Hey, 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 hey. I know a snake charmer now. Can you?
No, there's only one snake I have, and that's and it's charmer. <you know? laughs>
I train a snake for that pussy.
Hey, man. we still need to do that pussy challenge.
You guys need to calm down. It's your boy G-Man, the L-Man, guys. And we're still hanging out with Leroy, Jason up in the stew. And Leroy, fuck, man. Like I say every week, it amazes me how quickly these hours fly by.
Yeah.
This hour's almost done, and we actually haven't gotten into like some of the meat of the shit because of the amount of bullshit you keep talking about. You know what I mean? But fuck, it's been an amazing hangout because I think, you know, in and amongst all that, the only thing that keeps coming through that mic is your passion.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it's important that I hope people on the other side are feeling your passion for the shit, your passion for the progress of it, the passion for the process.
Yeah.
You know what
constantly
I mean?
And learning.
And I think that and that too. I think it's really key to kind of a part of why what your journey has been right now. And I think, I mean, if you were to say, if you were to give, you know, some up and coming photographer who's not trying to be a snake, if you had like anything you would give them right now, whether it's a book or whether it's a words of wisdom, what would you hand him right now to get him started?
Just keep shooting. Like the thing is, if you're passionate about something, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it until you don't fake it. Just keep doing it. Ideally, yeah. I mean, and the other thing that you need to also do is stop trying to compete with. Because the thing is, in Joburg and South Africa, you stay in South Africa, you think that the only people you can compete with,
that's right,
are right here.
You're international.
You must think in international. We've produced artists that are all international, recognized, and you could be one of them as well. You know what I mean? You need to travel, get the fuck out. You know what I mean?
Think bigger.
Date white girls. You know what I mean? Do
just
what you need to.
And anyway, this comes up again. This comes up again. Dude, what the fuck, man? Anyways, somebody be saying.
Rumor has it that you struggle with white girls.
Dude. Yeah, I've never.
Guys, whoa.
Been with a white girl.
This is not that kind of show. There's a show for that, guys. Speaking of which,
if you're out there, please come through.
There's a show for that. Guys, check out the roster of all the podcasts on Cliff Central. There's a show for everything, including the bullshit that's being spoken right now. But guys, once again, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been an amazing hour.
Can
with
I do
them.
A quick shout out though?
Like, do a quick shout out.
Yo, shout out to all young photographers who want to get up though. Go to 75.co.za. Fuck Instagram.
What's it?
75.co.za. Oh, wow, yeah. So remember, that's where the likes of Jeff came from. Then there's also Innocent Justice. I see a different. You came from there. I also came from there. Shout out Lebu for
Lebu,
that.
So,
Nkwan.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Nkwan. Yeah. So I mean,
also makes
a lot of young cats came from this shit. So ideally, those are the things that we need to also work in a collective. Don't forget that if you're still trying to start out and be someone, work in a collective. I mean, there was a group back in the day that was a massive collective. Remember the fashion, not there was Wu-Tang, but there was a South African one that had both Floyd Avenue, all these cats.
Yeah.
Smarties. Remember Smarties back in the day?
Yeah.
So ideally, collectives work. Stick with your clique, you know what I mean? But just don't raise any snakes, you know what I mean?
All right, got you. Yeah. Guys, to all you guys out there raising snakes, just look around you. Yeah. What a fantastic show. What a fantastic show. Thanks for coming to hang out. Mr. Leroy Jason in the studio. Fantastic human being. Like I said, you can feel the passion coming through the microphone with this man. Yeah, I mean, he's a wrecking ball every now and then, but a talented fucking wrecking ball at that. But I think that thanks for coming to hang out, brother. And we will be seeing more of you in the stew to get some more of these pearls of wisdom from you. And to all you guys out there, just, you know, once again, like I say every week, man, take care of yourself, take care of those briefs. But most importantly, take care of each other. It's rough out there. Snakes out there in there, bitch. But really, really, really take care of yourselves out there. And download the podcast. Play it for your mom. Don't play it for your mom. There was a lot of swearing. Don't play it for your mom. play it around the studio, though, because I think there's some people who do need to hear it. I think there's some... Can you wait? Can I finish the show? Like I say every week, if the show is on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. Boom!
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Well, fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is clipcentral.com.